I'm Sharkeese Gunn. It's the Skywalker Spoilers. We have been pulling apart the Chris Terrio interview and the Hollywood Reporter, Chris, the co-writer of The Rise of Skywalker. I think this will be our last episode about this article. We've gotten a lot of material about this one. First question, Rey Palpatine, what were the ins and outs of that significant choice? Chris said, we thought Rey's arc can't be finished after episode 8. You leave episode 8 and you say, well, now Rey's content. She discovered her parents aren't Skywalkers or whatever, and that's fine. But what do you do from there? So JJ and I spoke and said, well, what's an even worse answer or elaboration of that news that her parents are nobody? And we thought that the worst answer was that she described herself from the family who are the enemies of her new family, her adoptive family. Leia's a mother figure to Rey in a way that no one has ever been since she lost her real mother. So the idea was that Rey, who's had inclinations towards the dark side, would learn in the course of this movie that Leia is training the descendant of her greatest enemy, and that she has four strength of Leia's greatest enemy. Discovering that you actually descended from your adoptive family's greatest enemy, the same enemy who corrupted Anakin Skywalker and is responsible for the destruction of the Skywalker family in the first place, felt most devastating to us. Based on that, we were moved by the idea that Leia would have known from the very beginning, but since she saw such hope, heart, and spirit in Rey, she decided she was going to take a chance on putting all the hope of the galaxy in Rey. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think Leia saw that the good outweighed the bad in Rey. Just like, think about it. The Palpatine was able to corrupt Ben, who became Kylo. So why couldn't the light side with Leia be able to keep Rey from going bad?
Oh, I like that a lot. That's good.
So why?
You're good at this.
Thank you. There's a reason I'm around. There's no reason why, you know, it has to be always, you got to get bent to the dark side. Why can't you get bent to the light side? And if when you're doing that, it goes back to the whole thing of bringing balance to the Force. The whole balance of the Force is that right now you have somebody that was a descendant of Palpatine taking a Skywalker name. That's the duality. Everything that they keep talking about with duality, that's the duality of the yin and the yang of light and dark in one person.
That's really well done. So I think what Chris is putting on the table here is that Leia knew, and I have picked up from the context of the film that Luke knew. It's not said on screen, but it would explain Luke's behavior of like, oh, I better not train this one. Bad stuff's going to happen. We saw what happened with Ben. So I guess it makes sense that they both somehow knew.
I think they both knew, and they're both really strong force sensitive. So you couldn't pick up on, wait, there's something going on here, you know?
All right, to put a wrap on this article, one of the questions, presumably Finn's confession, which he never got the chance to make, is that he's force sensitive. Chris said, well, you can read that how you want to. There are some people who read it as Finn having feelings for Rey. There are some who read it as Finn trying to make that force related confession. I thought he was saying that he had feelings for Rey.
I think that the first time he was about to say it, that they were trying to make you feel like that. That it was actually the writer and the writers trying to swerve you, which they did. And later on, you see what he's doing. He's doing a lot of stuff that Luke did in A New Hope, where he's feeling like, oh, if I do this and that and that. It's not like he has, you know, Ben in his ear, but you could definitely tell he's force sensitive in it. I think he was ready to tell her, hey, I kind of believe in the Force a little more because this has been happening with me. Because even if you think about A Force Awakens, he picks up a lightsaber and he knows how to swing it around.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that just doesn't come naturally to non-force sensitives. Because even look at Han in Empire, when he goes to cut Luke out of the Tauntaun, he's trying to figure out how to even operate it.
Yep.
So I think at first hey, I have something to tell you, when they were about to get sucked into the sand where they thought they were going to die, I think that was to throw you off, and then later on it opens up the whole, hey, I still want to tell you that I'm and you know. So I think that's what it was all about.
Yeah, again, I don't know, I feel like he had feelings for her that seems to appear in all three films, but he's also seems to have feelings for others. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, he's also somebody that's been a stormtrooper all his life up until he broke out and ended up with Poe in Force Awakens. So who knows what's really going on in him with feelings and stuff.
All right, so the final thing I want to pull out of this article is the interviewer says, I watched the Mandalorian episode where Baby Yoda force heals Grief Karga. Since episode 9 also utilizes this force power, was this a coordinated effort? Chris's answer, we had discussions within Lucasfilm about various force powers and force healing, which is something that's been mentioned in various extended universe stories. And that was an idea that Filoni, Favreau, and we over on the film side thought was a really interesting thing to explore. It might not have been completely planned at the beginning, but once we realized that we were both coming upon this new expression of force power, we then worked with that in mind, knowing that this was part of a thing that would be seen at different times in different parts of the galaxy at roughly the same time of release in, you know, the world where you and I live.
I think it's very cool that they did something better than what the Marvel Universe did, where they actually talked to each other and built upon it. I also think that the stuff that's going to happen in Mandalorian might tie into a lot of the newer trilogy stuff.
Explain. I'm not following you.
So, like, you know, with the force healing from Baby Yoda, you know, since he's already done it, and then you see it later on in the newer trilogies, like, all right, I've seen that before. It just didn't come out of left field. I think there's going to be certain threads that are in The Mandalorian, like Snoke. He was being cloned all the time. We still don't know what the which I love what Mando calls the imps, you know, what they want the baby for. So is that cloning technology for Snoke? Is Palpatine using it, or is it just the Imperials? I think there's going to be a lot of storylines that are going to feed into stuff that we've seen in the newer trilogies and future TV shows and movies.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I always hate when things are in a timeline before things that we already know, also known as prequel, would have been an easier way to say that. I kind of hope, as we talked about in an earlier episode, that they go beyond the films and, you know, maybe that Rey Skywalker idea would be a good one. I don't know. The shoehorning of everything always worries me.
I don't think it's really shoehorning as more of Easter eggs / threads going in. You know, so you don't have to really shoehorn it. But if it makes sense, you can make a roadmap to the next plot. So like this whole thing with the child, why are they going for his DNA or whatever they need for him? And does that eventually turn into the newer trilogies, or is it just something that's going to throw us off? Like the whole, you know, in episode 8, hey, yeah, Ray, you know, your parents are nobodies, you know?
Yeah. To me, it depends on, you know, is it a nod? Nods are okay. I just hate the stuff when it's like, oh, good morning, Colonel Hux. Like, just don't do that.
Yeah. I don't think, I think they've learned that they don't need to shoehorn stuff in. I think it's going to be a nod, a little bit of a wink, maybe a thread, but it's not going to impact the overall storyline of the TV shows or the movies.
No, I hope you're right. Well, again, everybody should check out this interview in The Hollywood Reporter with Chris Terrio. The gift that kept on giving to our podcast, Shark and Goon, will return.